It's here and now. NHL playoffs get underway tonight. 16 teams vying for the coveted Stanley Cup, which reminds us of one of our favorite hockey moments. 1970, the Boston Bruins one goal shy of their first championship in 29 years.
Orr fights to keep it in. Does. Has it in the corner to Sanderson. Back in front to Orr. Shot. Scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that?
The photograph is iconic. Bobby Orr flying parallel to the ice. The pass to set up his goal, as we heard, came from Derek Sanderson, the Bruins' brash young Canadian defenseman. Back then, sportscasters could not get enough of his personality-drenched, no-holds-barred play.
What about the fight with Gilbert?
That was like the mafia. It was nothing personal, strictly business. As little as I played, I just tried to fight as many people as I could to keep him off the ice.
He was just killer on the ice.
One of scores of fans who lined up before a recent Boston Bruins game to meet Derek Sanderson as he signed copies of his new memoir, Crossing the Line, the outrageous story of a hockey original.
Kind of the wild child of hockey and playing without helmets. I mean, they were warriors. So.
One of the best that ever lived.
Yeah, he did some pretty crazy things that made people look up, challenging Gordie Howe, like, what are you doing?
Thank you.
You were the greatest.
Thank you.
He did become the world's highest paid athlete, but as Derek details in the book, the ice took its toll. And off the ice, well, he was a sex symbol during the sexual revolution. He had his own TV show, owned clubs with the Jets' Joe Namath, but that took its toll as well. The usual, alcohol and drugs, but Derek ended up homeless in Central Park, trying to steal a bottle of wine from another drunk, a story he told back then on 60 Minutes.
Just about got to the bottle and he woke up. I said, just give me a drink, hey. Get your own. I said, do you know who I am? The guy said, I know you are. The guy said, you're drunk like I am. Get away from me. And he walked away. And I sat down and went, oh, God, now I need help.
Derek?
Hey, Robin, how are you? God bless.
It took several rehabs, but Derek Sanderson has been sober for years and now counsels young athletes about the pitfalls. We sat on the Bruins bench in the garden, the Zamboni prepping the ice.
Zamboni. Peek over the Zamboni. Miss the spot.
Derek's story is being made into a movie, and he'd recently visited the set.
It absolutely overwhelmed me. All the walls with me, like, whoa.
So this was a mock-up of the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And you're going back into your life.
Yeah, and I'm going, wow, I don't want to really go there.
Let's try to get at how bad it was. You're so drunk you can't get into your apartment, so you jump out a balcony.
Yeah, the Darby Harbor Towers.
Right.
It's almost 20-some feet. I hit that, I near killed myself.
At another point, you have a house up in Fort Erie, and you're in a blizzard. You walk like 20 miles or something to get home, almost freeze in the blizzard, and then you're cooking. You start a kitchen fire, almost burned to death.
That hurts. My dad always told me pain was a state of mind, but I remember that. That hurt.
Your friend of yours, one of your dealers, says, hey, take this gun. I'm going to go do a deal. If it doesn't go well, kill them. And you're standing there with the gun thinking,
what am I doing? I'm a hockey player. This is way out of my life. This is not where my parents raised me to be. And that was a rude awakening. Well, one of many awakenings that I had. Not easy to get sober.
It's not. I mean, reading your book, you really get that. You know, the first drink, and it's only when you finally get to counseling that somebody makes you remember.
No, one guy. I was in 13 different detoxes. And I wanted to get sober my way. Like I was going to be an original. The guy says, no, first you got to do is understand denial. And I said, math, I'll tell you anything. And he said, how old were you the first time you drank? I said, 20. Not the first time you get drunk, the first time you drank. I said, well, 15. Well, 13. Well, my uncle gave me a beer when I was 7. And a guy said, now that's denial. Prod you a little bit, I get you down to 7.
That made me so angry to read that. You know, you were doomed. Not just did an uncle make you drink a beer, but later when you have a fear, you have a lot of fears, but you have a fear of flying, the Bruins make you drink.
They had given me Valium, right, because for anxiety, yeah. And it made me very loggy, very thick. I didn't feel, you know, like I was moving properly. So I told the doctor, and he says, leave that alone. He said, then, you know, have a drink and relax.
And this was a time when people didn't really understand alcoholism,
no.
So people were plying you. And it was an era. I mean, we're talking Studio 54. There's no bigger star. Playboy bunnies hanging off your arms. A lot of people don't know that era. Can you describe?
Here's it in a nutshell, I think, what people don't understand today. Women were an entirely different animal then. They were just coming out of themselves because of the pill. people, all of a sudden there's rights and I got this and I want that. They wanted to find themselves. All eligible men, 18 to 24, were in Vietnam. There was like 7-8 to 1. It was insane.
And you're Derek Sanderson. You were a sex symbol. And we now find out in the book, you didn't believe that at all. You didn't have that thinking about yourself at all.
No. It was all a bluff. I was afraid of rejection and shyness. People don't understand. Trying to be what you're not and let go and let God. It's the best way to do it, but people don't understand it.
Well, and you have done a lot of work in AA and all sorts of different recoveries. You're a completely different person now, but how did you do it?
I said to myself, let go and let God. It was very simple.
Literally got down on your knees.
Yeah, I said to me, get on your knees. The DTs were coming, and I knew they were coming. I was in about my 32nd hour. And, yeah, everybody can quit for a day. That second day, it's a killer. And they never came. I prayed the first time in my life, and they never came. And he said, dude, you keep that feeling, and you're going to be sober the rest of your life.
How long has it been?
32 years. 32 and a half.
And you have sons?
Yeah, they both know I'm alcoholic. I told them when they were 5 and 6, around there.
Do you worry for them?
Yeah. I try to tell them, you've got a 300% greater chance of being predisposed to this disease by birth. I'm a drunk. And I think Michael was 8, 9 years old. When he says, Dad, you tell me that alcohol, because you drink, and, well, Mom has a glass of wine, maybe I'll get her half. That logic can get you trouble.
But back to your boys. They didn't know those great moments. I think you were even recently named like top 25.
Oh yeah,
athletes.
There's the good. That's a good story.
What was that? What were you named?
GQ. It was 25 coolest athletes in history, and I was the only hockey player. And Joe Namath they had, and Kenny Stabler and Tom Brady they had, and I came down in the morning. After Michael and Ryan are sitting reading it, and I just got my underwear on, my t-shirt, hair's all a mess, and they looked at each other and said, and this is the coolest? How could you be? I said, you weren't there, son. Big difference, son.
I'm reminded of your dear, might say, best friend, Bobby Orr. He many times tried to get you to stop drinking.
Yeah, he tried. I went to get him to Chicago, and I was going to ask him for a job. He said, okay, let me show you around the building. And he pulled the door closed when I walked into the door. And I woke up, it was a blackout, I woke up, and I was in an Illinois hospital. And he's standing at the end of the bed, and I said, oh, no, this is not good. And he tried to get me to listen and to grow up. He always was on my back about one thing or another. He's your friend, and he's your friend for life.
I'm sitting here thinking, you must be so grateful. It could have ended many other ways.
Oh, yeah. It could have gone a long way. And then he never gave up on me. But maybe part of it was I just didn't want to disappoint him. But once you get sober, then you can put all those thoughts together. You can't until you get sober.
Well, Derek Sanderson, I just have one thing to say. Bobby Orr was not one of the 25 coolest athletes in GQ.
Maybe that's a bad thing to be.
That's right. That's right. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Bob. Appreciate it. It's so good to see you. Former Boston Bruin great Derek Sanderson, his memoir, Crossing the Line, The Outrageous Story of a Hockey Original. To see pictures and video of our visit at the Garden, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.